This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you have a baseball question?
I do.
Who's your favorite rock star?
You're Prince.
Morris. Bruce.
Prince.
Bruce.
Bruce Levine.
Just had a text from Bruce Levine.
Hi, Bruce.
Noted baseball aficionado. Been around town for a long time.
Score Baseball Insider.
Bruce, I really do appreciate the way you communicate up front, transparent, direct. And you've been doing it for years. Happy to come on your show anytime. It doesn't matter if you're in Chicago or New York or L.A. or whatever. Like, I enjoy talking to you. And Matt, it was good to talk to you today.
Thanks, Kate.
Covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Can I ask you a question about that?
I'm going to go through my speech.
Yes, sir.
Take a look at it.
With the idea that...
And the essence of Bellinger, I think every team wants it on their vanity. Bruce, you step on my lines once more, and I'm telling you, you're the back of the group.
Bruce Levine.
Spiegel guy.
What's his first name?
With Spiegel and Holmes.
Is that your station?
I don't know.
On 670 The Score.
Bruce Levine is out in the desert, although it kind of doesn't feel like the desert today out there. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Bruce, thanks for joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. What happened today? Because it's rare that you see rainouts in the Cactus League, but apparently there was quite a storm that rolled through this morning.
According to my rented vehicle, it's 51 degrees and pouring right now. So I can see the pouring part. And I can feel the 51. Yeah, it's just a different day. They really haven't had a downpour like this in Arizona since August. So the locals are reveling in it. And the people that are here for spring training are going, we could have just stayed home. And we didn't need to come out here for bad weather.
Yeah, it's having just been out there, Bruce, like people were, it's a crazy drought. It's been a crazy long drought. So but like, are the ballparks, just to finish this part of the conversation, are the ballparks even prepared for rain in the normal way? Like some people didn't realize there are no tarps out there. Tell us what you can about that kind of stuff.
Well, they have tarps. White Sox have tarps, so do the Cubs. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know where that misnomer came from. I guess back in the day they used to talk about teams not having it. I can't vouch for every team in the Cactus League having a tarp, but they certainly have them here. And the sod father was here lining up the little dirt piles underneath the tarpaulin just to get ready to get the field going when they boxed this about 25 minutes ago.
Okay, well, no baseball today, but that doesn't mean that there aren't baseball stories. Why don't we start with the Cubs? Because they're closer to opening day than the White Sox are. There were some decisions made about the roster. What's interesting to you about that, Bruce?
Well, I'll jump right to the lead, and that is that when I asked Craig Counsell today about Matt Shaw, that the possibility he would still have to hone his skills at AAA, being the defensive part of his game, still not what it needs to be. He said, yeah, that's a possibility. He said, oh, it's all up in the air right now. We don't know for sure, but I can't say for sure he won't be starting at AAA just to get going. We believe in Matt. We believe in his abilities. We think he's going to be there, but if we don't think he's ready, that could be a spot. So I thought that was the news of the day, that it's not preordained that he is the automatic opening day third baseman.
That's really interesting, Bruce. I heard you and David Haw talking about whether Matt Shaw would go to Japan and be part of the games in Japan, and you were talking about how he still has work to do defensively, as you mentioned right there. And if he doesn't go to Japan, and obviously if he goes to AAA for opening day, then it would buy them time, because Gage Workman is a Rule 5 guy. Vidal Bruján, I don't believe Vidal Bruján has options left. They've got some difficult choices that they have to make for some of these extra people. Like John Birdie is here. Nicky Lopez is on a minor league deal. But at the very least, if Shaw doesn't go to Japan, that buys them time to make a choice, say, between Workman and Bruján, correct?
Well, and Birdie, you have to put in John Birdie in there as well. Yeah. I mean, he's also vying for the job. And then you have the veteran. You know, you have Turner, you know, working on throwing from third base for the first time in 2 years, just being prepared to play a few games there. Most likely DH, right-handed first baseman. But nonetheless, he said, you know, he's getting his arm stretched out. So a lot of choices. But, you know, as you guys said, a lot of these guys are out of options. A couple of them will probably be traded, moved somewhere else. There's a lot of interesting things going on here at Cub Camp, including, you know, the fifth starter spot. Is it going to be Ben Brown? Is it going to be Wicks? Is it going to be Ray, the guy that was supposed to start today, the veteran who came over from Milwaukee and has been around a little bit? So there's intrigue within the Cub opening day roster and what the future is for him. But I think the good news is there's a lot of depth on this team. And I think people will hopefully, if you're a Cub fan, you're going to appreciate the depth that they have and the fact that even if it's Brown and Wicks starting at AAA, that there are guys that already have experience in the major leagues. They're not coming up. They won't be wide-eyed. They won't be freaked out. They know they can pitch there. So you guys have to tell me the last time they had viable starting pitchers that won't make this team but can come up and fit seamlessly into the big league roster.
Yeah, no, that part of it definitely feels encouraging in terms of the depth of the bottom of the rotation. I want to go back to the position players for a second here, because I just had to double check. And yes, Bruján is out of options, and they gave up Matt Mervis to get him. He started 25 games at short last year, did Bruján, and Workman is a Rule 5 guy. So once Matt Shaw and Nico Horner are up here and healthy, like eventually, as we zoom out, Bruce, we're talking about one spot for Gage Workman, Vidal Bruján, and Nicky Lopez, right? Like I don't think, like, we're talking about one spot for those three guys.
Yeah.
Unless I'm thinking of a configuration differently in some way.
No, I think you're right. I think there's one, maybe two spots, but when both of those guys are there, yeah. I mean, and Turner is an automatic on the team. He's making what, $6 million, so. With that in mind, he's on the team. Again, I talked to Nicky Lopez about this just this morning, and I said, you know, it's a numbers game. He said, well, I'm a major league player. He said, I want to play for the Cubs. It's a hometown, and I've been fortunate enough to play there last year, and I'd like to play this year. But there are 29 other teams, you know, and a veteran has a perspective of, you know, I want a major league job. I don't really care necessarily. I'd love to be a Cub, but I want to stay in Major League Baseball. That's really how these guys look at it.
Our baseball reporter and host of Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine, joining us live from Arizona. Bruce Speaks brought up the idea of the roster and the maneuvering that you can do because you're starting early, you're playing in Japan, they're extra players, on that roster. For Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer, this is weird because you're going to start the season, then you're going to come back to spring training, and then you're going to start domestically. So it gives you time and a little bit of flexibility. What do they think of how that kind of messes with what is a routine calendar of how spring training goes?
It's a great question, Lawrence, because this morning Counsell said, you know, this thing kind of creates a little bit of a mess with spring training. But in our case, it's given us a little bit of an edge because we knew we had to get ready early. So it gave more purpose to the 6 weeks of spring training when you had to be ready in 4.5, right? So they feel they're more ready. The key is, you know, do injuries happen more often to you and the Dodgers because you had to prepare a couple of weeks early to get ready for the regular season and then shutting it down again for a week before you start the regular season domestically? Those are the questions that we can't answer for you right now. All we do know is that in Major League Baseball, there's always going to be injuries. The Cubs will incur injuries. The Dodgers will incur injuries. That's just the way it goes. Spring training or not, you know, they're going to be happy at some point that they have depth before March 27th.
Bruce, as we think about the back end of that bullpen, it's Ryan Pressly, and it's Porter Hodge. Is Tyson Miller going to make this team? Like, you know, like he was a good find last year, but it's not like he's been great. Like Eli Morgan, there's some interesting names there, and a big pile of dudes. Like I'm trying to figure out who's going to be the odd man out there in that bullpen.
Yeah, I think Matt, I think you identified it. He's had a bad spring. And this is not a good time to have a bad spring because the Cubs do have depth in the bullpen. And Ben Brown is also, you know, a candidate there. I mean, he's a starting pitcher and a good one. He's also an ideal candidate to come out of the bullpen and blazing to go along with Hodge. And, you know, Presley's not a 98-mile-an-hour guy, but he knows how to get people out. So with all that in mind, you know, I think he's an out-getter late in the game, and always have to consider that as well. So they have depth there, and again, I don't think Miller is making this roster.
Bruce, let's talk a little bit of White Sox while we're here. Spiegs and I got into a conversation earlier this week about Luis Robert, and we're seeing a healthy, productive Robert in Cactus League. And I figure, considering where they've been for the last couple of years, it's probably going to be at least a couple more until they're a viable competitive team. Is there a market for Robert now? And what are the risks? If Chris Getz is like, well, you know, the market will maybe be better when we get to the trade deadline. But I'm always worried that you'll get an ineffective Robert because he's around a bunch of guys that aren't winning, or he might get injured. So how do you see this playing out? Does it make any sense at all for the White Sox to entertain the idea of trading him before the season starts?
Yeah, I think you can. This is a great argument that you can have all up until the time Robert either hopefully doesn't get injured, but is traded. I mean, the other argument, and I'll get back to what you asked me. The other argument is, when is it going to be time where the White Sox can think about keeping good players?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, White Sox fans want to know that. Luis Robert, 2 years removed, was one of the top players in the game. I don't know if people remember it. They forget that he hit 38 home runs, that he roamed center field with the best outfielders in the American League, you know, that he could steal 30 bases. I mean, this guy's a hugely talented player. Cincinnati offered a couple of players that were top-ranked minor leaguers. The White Sox were looking for three, okay? They're still going to look for three, but it is a gamble, and you can argue it either way, just like you guys discussed it. The fact that, well, what if he gets hurt again? Are you being too greedy by not taking the two right now? Or if he's that good, is he still a building block for you because you have two more years at $20 million, which is chump change for a superstar player. If he comes back and he regains the abilities that he had in 2023, you have one of the top five or seven players in baseball. Why not start there as the place you want to be moving forward? I think they're all good arguments.
Bruce, the detail that we'd read about why it didn't happen with Cincinnati also said that they couldn't agree on how much of the salary the Reds would be on the hook for. Is that the ask at some point for Chris Getz, is to go higher and say, look, we need to do this now because of the reasons that you just mentioned. We might have to eat a little more money to do it, but trust me, this is something we need to do. Is that the ask?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. Yes, they want somebody to take all the money, okay? So all the money is $15 million this year, $20 million options for the club the next 2 years. And a team like Cincinnati, $15 million is a lot of money for them. Most big markets or middle-sized markets, not a ton of money. For them, they have to be right about the money, and that's part of the reason why, as you said, it's fallen through up to now. But I think if you look at what Cincinnati needs, they're right there in a lot of areas. You add a superstar like Robert to that team in that ballpark, you probably have a 45 to 50 home run guy that leads you and makes you a contender with the Cubs and the Brewers. So from that perspective, they want that star. I mean, they had a great offer on the table for Crochet as well, and that fell through because they didn't quite get the fourth prospect like Boston offered. So all this stuff's really intriguing, and I think it's going to continue to be a story watching Robert play for the White Sox and seeing if he can stay healthy, if he can regain his batting skills, which he did not last year. A lot of storylines to Luis Robert and the White Sox.
Man, it's frustrating, Bruce, because this is the way of modern sports, and it wasn't the way in baseball for a while. Like, we used to talk about it as an NBA trade thing, but now it's so clearly a baseball thing. Depending on how much money you cover as the trading team, that's what you get in terms of prospect. And we just saw it with the Cubs and Bellinger. Cubs didn't get that much from the Yankees because the Yankees ate all the money on the Bellinger deal. With such a small payroll on the White Sox, I feel like they should be willing to eat a lot more of the Robert money to get better prospects as you're reloading. And I wonder if they'll have to bend on that between now and opening day.
It's not going to happen, Matt. They're not. Their goal is to build with strong young pitching, which they're doing right now, and not spending money because they've been losing a lot of money the last couple of years. We can talk for 5 hours about, you know, whether that's self-imposed or not, and who to blame for it. But the reality is they're not spending money now. They'll have one of the top or bottom two or three payrolls in baseball this year.
Did you want to do it for those 5 hours? You want to do it now, Lawrence, or should we call in on
Saturday?
Yeah, no,
Saturday? I mean, we could. Look, I mean, you know, everybody could, you know, just say, hey, you know, the front office and Jerry messed this up. Now you got, you know, what's mostly considered an expansion team. And right now they're not plugging in big salaries to try to get them back to credibility. Credibility, nobody can give you a date right now as to when that credibility is going to be there. You can say they have good young pitching. You can say they have six in the top 100. None of it really means anything until they start producing out there.
That's right, and they're probably still a ways away from being able to do that. Did I hear right, Bruce, that Mike Tauchman is going to be on Inside the Clubhouse?
He is. He'll be on tomorrow. We'll also have Ben Brown of the Cubs, 9 to 11, me and Mr. Ryan McGuffey. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too,
Bruce. Yeah, Ben Brown has a great story. Like, the details on that injury that came out.
I love how Bruce ended the segment.
He knew it was time.
I love that.
He decided.
He was right. He knows the clock. He's a veteran.
But he can write his own ticket, man. Bruce is out there working for two teams. Now he's driving back. He just went to Glendale for a game that didn't happen.
Man.
You know?
And
it's like, I understand.
And from Sloan, that's the other side of the earth.
I know. And
to get out there in Glendale.
I just asked him the same question two times in a row because I'm so frustrated at the White Sox not eating money on Luis Robert. It's like he doesn't want to talk for five more hours about it. And I get it. It sucks, though. But he gave us the real answer. He gave us the real honest answer. It's not going to happen. Think about that, man. You're the White Sox, and you're paying nobody. And the one guy that you could possibly trade right now while he's healthy and get a trove of kids from a team like Cincinnati, if you covered the money, they'd probably give you what you want prospect-wise, but they're not going to do it. And they didn't do it with Eric Fetty and Kopech. It's the reason they got so little in those deadline deals. Even the, like, do you remember when we thought the Fetty contract was a great value?
Yes.
And like, oh, my God, what a great contract. And then they used that and still didn't get anything for him. Still didn't get anything of consequence for him because they wanted the Cardinals to cover all the money, so they took lesser prospects in the whole three-team deal. It's kind of gross, frankly.
There's more baseball talk coming up on the show. We're going to talk about baseball and its deal breaking down with ESPN. Also, Nicky Lopez is going to join us at 4:40. And there's some, I think, great breaking news about the White Sox.
And
breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Ozzie Guillen will return to the White Sox pregame over on CHSN. That was announced a little while ago.
That's great. And I will applaud the White Sox for being comfortable with the truth-telling that Ozzie Guillen brings to that show about the state of the org, about the state of the team on the field, and the state of the clubhouse through the years. There are some organizations that are not comfortable with that. I applaud the White Sox for allowing it.
And let me just say, because we were discussing this a little bit as far as coverage goes of baseball in Chicago, one of the real advantages, and I'm waiting for an organization in this town to do this, one of the real advantages that the White Sox have with Ozzy as their pregame host is that he's a fluent Spanish speaker. And we have so many players in town that are Spanish speaking first. Like, that's what they feel comfortable in. We need more Spanish speakers covering the game. Because all the stuff that Ozzy will tell you from his text messages from guys inside the clubhouse, guys that we don't ordinarily get a chance to even hear from, because they're Spanish speakers, it gives him a depth of knowledge inside the game that you added to all of his years playing, all of his years managing. I also think he's been one of the best reporters on what's going on in the White Sox clubhouse. It's a real advantage, and any sports organization in town would do themselves a favor by having someone who can speak with different corners of the clubhouse.
That's absolutely fair. And I remember, you know, there's been a lot of times where you realize, this is how players feel about Ozzy. I get it. And maybe you didn't realize that. I remember when the Cubs, was it Carlos Gonzalez, the former Colorado Rocky outfielder, who was briefly a Cub, like seeing him out there and Contreras out there, like, and others just idolizing.
Gushing over him.
Absolutely gushing. Losing their minds, and you realize, yeah, they're probably going to tell that guy anything.
Let's absolutely talk a little bit of Bears. Spiegs is a running back he's gotten excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that next here on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on the Score.
What is the conversation about this
draft? A few things. I think that the strength of this draft, according to the people who have really dug
into it. Insiders, yes, all the people you've talked to. Yeah.
Personnel people. Middle rounds, 3, 4, 5. A lot of good depth and talent there. And I think the feeling is that the player you get at number 10 in this draft is similar to the player that you get at 35.
Jeez. Wow.
So there's a group in there where there's not a huge separation.
But huge payday difference.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Bears do. Free agency opens up next week, and that'll get us a little closer to an idea of how they're going to be built up through the draft, but maybe not the entire picture. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. For those of you who are tuning in and you're expecting to hear Cubs versus White Sox, there's rain in the desert. There's no game today. So we got you until 6 o'clock. Full show. We're breaking it all down.
So, Lawrence, I love running backs. I think about running backs like painters. You know, like they all have their own little style. The brush strokes are unique, and just, you know, do they run upright? Do they run compact? Are they guys looking to bounce off a pile? Are they guys looking to bowl over a pile? Are they more comfortable outside, et cetera? I was, for some reason last night, I was digging through some mocks and some write-ups. Daniel Jeremiah's new write-up of his top prospects over at NFL.com was one I was reading. And then I went on YouTube and I was watching highlight reels and stuff, and I got a guy.
Okay, who you got?
He's not a first-round pick. I'm not here to talk to you about Ashton Jeanty, and I'm not here to talk to you about somebody maybe even in the second round. I'm thinking third round, like at number 72, you can probably get this man from Ohio State, and that's Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. He is powerful. He gets small between the tackles, like in kind of that Thurman Thomas way where he gets really compact and will fight through for every last little foot that he can possibly get into small crevices. He's very decisive. He's aggressive. He's got a stiff arm that he uses a lot, but sometimes he'll just bowl you right over, just lower the shoulder and bowl you right over. And he's got good hands. He's pretty quick. He actually timed out well at the combine, under a 4.5 40, but he's not like a speed demon, not a game breaker on the outside. And like when he gets outside, he usually squares up and tries to like hit people and then go vertical as much as he can. But he's more Knuckles than he is Sonic. You know, if you're thinking about it from the Ben Johnson perspective, he's more Montgomery than he is Jahmyr Gibbs. But I feel like the Bears desperately need a tone-setting badass running back for all of the inside runs who's still fast enough to make things happen on the outside when he gets there.
Well, you're going to be very excited with his draft analysis from Lance Zierlein. You ready for this?
I am.
His strengths: prototypical size, aggression, and play strength. Presses the run deep into the line before cutting. I love that.
Right.
Limits stride length when he looks for better control of his cut quickness. Outside runs feature patience, decisiveness, and efficiency in space. Sudden bursts to rush past arm traffic at the line of scrimmage. Runs with NFL caliber physicality and falls forward as a finisher.
Man.
Touchdown monster. With rushing score for every 16.4 carries over three seasons, has the dog in him tough take-ons in blitz pickup. His NFL comp,
killer mentality.
I don't know if you want to do that. But Lance Zierlein's comp for him is Joe Mixon.
Oh, interesting. I like that because Mixon's quick enough, but Mixon will finish a play. He'll deliver a hit and finish a play. Man, I liked a lot of that in that write-up. What do you say about stride? He will vary his stride length. Early on, you gave me that one because I love that.
Limits stride length when he looks for better control of his cut quickness.
So he's not just, I'm running and I will go as far as I can go. He will change his stride length to fit the opportunity. I mean, my goodness. Running backs, when they really, you know, try to attack the hole, but adjust the way they're running, adjust their pace, and adjust their stride to get as much as they can out of every play, that freaking gets me going. And you need a touchdown monster. You need, because Roschon Johnson ain't it, man. He was it on God's play last year, but I don't think Roschon is quick or sudden enough.
Or low enough. He runs high.
Yes. I think the way that this dude runs is a really good fit because they're going to keep DeAndre Swift, man. They're going to keep DeAndre Swift, I think, and have him be, you know, your speed option and your outside option. They need a dude who runs like this, in my opinion.
So let's spin it forward a little bit. Now that Joe Tooney is on the team, this is what Daniel Jeremiah told Rich Eisen about what the Bears could look like in the draft.
You know, this was their glaring need if you watched the Bears last year. If we're going to get a fair evaluation of Caleb Williams, that has to be upgraded. So not only have you already done that before free agency even starts, you've now freed yourself up a little bit in both free agency and the draft because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have just this glaring need where you've got to grossly overpay in terms of what you're going to give a free agent or you're reaching for somebody with that 10th overall pick. Now it frees up some new names there, Rich. You know, Ashton Jeanty now, to me, is legitimately in the conversation there if you're the Bears. You think about that. Just think about those three young guys with Adunze. You know, obviously still have DJ Moore, but let's just go with the rookies last year. Adunze, Caleb Williams, and now all of a sudden the next year you throw Ashton Jeanty in there. That can be a fun trio to grow with.
So Jeanty would be the Gibbs of this offense, to use the Lions template in Chicago? Is that what he would be?
Yeah, I think he's almost he's not a one-for-one comp there with Gibbs. I think Gibbs has a little bit more top-end speed. I think Jeanty has more power. But yeah, he's going to be your back. He's going to be your guy who's going to hit home runs for you. And is, you know, he can be that guy for them going forward. Also, I know you've got Cole Kmet, but if you wanted to stylistically have some fun, what if you threw Tyler Warren in there and you're out there with two tights and you've got Tyler Warren, Cole Kmet, with DJ Moore and Rome Odunze? You can have some fun creatively with that package as well. And Now, you know, without having that glaring need, maybe you're in a situation where you trade back and you could completely rebuild the interior of your offensive line. What if you just trade back a few spots and you take Gray Zabel from North Dakota State and you throw him at center, and now you have completely rebuilt the interior of that offensive line in front of Caleb Williams?
Daniel Jeremiah seems to be speaking our language right now.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does. And really, he speaks to what Tanny had said in the group thread the other day about, like, the draft being fun.
Yes.
Now the draft being wide open with all these options there. I'm souring on Genty because of the level of competition and what you said about some of the tightness in the Penn State game, and others have said about the caliber of athletes and on that defense in those high level games, how Genty looked, you know. And I find myself thinking about Boise State running backs, like, what are we talking about, Jay Ajayi and Doug Martin and Alexander Madison, like guys who've been decent pros but not Saquon Barkley top 10 pick running back pros, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I get where you're coming from. We need to take a time out because we get to talk to one of our favorite guests when it comes to talking ball. Logan Paulson is going to join us. We'll find out what he thinks about Jonathan Allen. We'll ask him what he thinks about what the Bears did, and also get his thoughts on what the Bears could be looking for at the draft. And, of course, we have to talk to him about how good their quarterback in Washington played. That's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
6.5 minute drive here for the Bears. Motion man St. Brown to the far side. Sets up slot right. Receivers bunched to that right side. Shotgun, Fields looking. Ball gets popped up in the air, and it is intercepted. Washington's got it off the deflection. The ball was free, and the Commanders with Jonathan Allen come up with a turnover.
Jonathan Allen is out there. Should he be a Bear? We'll find out whether or not he's a fit right now with our guest, Logan Paulson, who has been on with us before and is terrific. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Logan, thanks so much for joining us. Why isn't Jonathan Allen still with the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons. Obviously, John Allen's a well-respected member of the community. He went to high school kind of 5 minutes from the practice facility here. Like, people love him in the area. He's one of the longer tenured players here, been a captain. So really fantastic person, fantastic, you know, player, obviously. And I just think it got to a point where the new regime came in. They kind of gave it a year trial run and didn't quite jive kind of with the direction that they wanted to go. You know, John Allen's making $20 million this year, kind of set to make about that. I think it's 16 and a half. And the number didn't coincide with how much he played last year, obviously coming off an injury. So as we see around the NFL, you know, each and every free agency cycle, good players get cut because the dollars and cents don't quite line up. I still think he's got some gas left in the tank. And, you know, given the right kind of financial situation, I think it'd be a good fit for the team willing to foot the bill.
When you said it didn't jive with what the direction was, is that mostly from a business perspective, or is there anything in terms of scheme or style that also wasn't quite a fit?
Well, I think, you know, you go from a guy who's been the leader for a team for ever since you've arrived, basically since you've been drafted. And obviously you bring Bobby Wagner and you bring Zach Ertz and you bring in Austin Eckler, these guys that are kind of leaders and kind of professionals. And I think the leadership dynamic, specifically on the defensive side of the football, shifted, and Bobby really took over that leadership role. And then obviously Jaden Daniels comes in, and it's kind of those guys' teams as opposed to John Allen. So I do think there was a little bit of a shift, and I think he did a pretty good job falling in line, but I think it just was different. And I think they felt like they were getting their leadership bump, they being the Washington Commanders coaching staff, from those other guys that they brought in that were kind of more in line with their leadership style and their vision. So it's not that anything negative happened. It just didn't line up exactly with the new regime and what they wanted to do. And I think it leads to, again, that coupled with the fact that he's getting a little bit older, he's doing quite a bit of money, he was injured last year, he's been injured the last couple of years at some point in the season, just led to kind of, hey, we need to go in a different direction. And I think that's what you see here.
Considering your playing background and obviously how close you stay to the game, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about the Bears bringing in Joe Tooney to be one of their guards. Like, this guy, his resume is amazing. I hope that there's still a lot left for him to play for. You know anything about him? Have you watched any of his tape?
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe Tooney's one of the better guards in football. Obviously, Zach Martin was kind of the guy holding up down that position for a long time. But Joe Tooney, in my opinion, was kind of in that second tier of really, really good football players that, you know, kind of want to, I don't want to say playmaking guard, but that's kind of what you're getting there. A guy that's really consistent in pass pro, can win on one-on-one, can track and get to the second level of a defense in a run scheme. And so he's physical in the run game, plays with good balance, good leverage. So, you know, when the Bears made this move, I was really excited because I think, you know, one of the things, especially with a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, you want to kind of fortify and bring a little bit more competition to the offensive line. You know, there's a lot of young pieces there, guys that I was really excited about when they were coming out, like Braxton Jones, obviously, is a guy that, you know, kind of surprised everybody being a fifth round pick. But Darnell Wright, I think, is tremendously talented. So adding some pieces along the interior that give that pocket some depth, I think, is going to be a big deal for Caleb Williams. And especially with the new offense that they're going to be running there, kind of that heavy play action scheme, having really good interior offensive linemen is going to be important.
His name is Logan Paulson, and he's with Spiegel and Holmes right now, the former tight end. We're excited for the direction that Ben Johnson is going to go with the tight ends. Bears just cut Gerald Everett. I think Mercedes Lewis, the big dog, I think the time has come to send the big dog off. Cole Kmet, obviously here. They just signed this guy, Durham Smythe, the former Dolphin. But we know Ben loves tight ends. He played 12 personnel last year in Detroit at 32%, 11% above the league average. The Bears were way down. So, like, why is the tight end so important to what Ben Johnson likes to do, and is he the tight end's favorite offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoy watching what Ben Johnson does offensively, and I think, you know, kind of understanding the tight end's role and how it dictates the defense and the mismatches you're able to create. So, for example, like 12 personnel, two tight ends, two bigger bodies on the field, we can run play action pass, we can run our keeper game, we can run downhill, duo, you know, outside zone runs, we can attack the perimeter. And I think the addition of Smythe is really interesting because when you look at the stuff that they do in Miami with kind of using that tight end almost like a fullback in terms of that jet motion at the snap of the football, kind of not giving the defense a tell about where the run strength of the formation is, I think it's going to be a really nice fit in conjunction with Kmet, who to me is one of like the more underrated players at the position. Like, he blocks well. He's not the best athlete in the whole world, but he can work the seam, can win one-on-one matchups. And I think when you look at Sam Laporta, obviously Sam Laporta is a little bit different cut of athlete. He's a little bit more explosive, but I think Cole Kmet is kind of like the old man YMCA version of what Sam Laporta does, right? He just kind of slows you, knows how to break leverages, catches the football in contested catch situations. And I think when you have a guy like that in your offense and you can find mismatches, because ultimately that's what you're trying to do is find mismatches, the tight end position can be very, very valuable to finding those mismatches, getting them on a safety, getting them on a linebacker, getting them on a dropping defensive end. If you can exploit those matchups, man, you can be a really dangerous offense.
Logan, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I've been trying to figure out, like, what I think of Cole Kmet. Like, the guy I love. Like, he's outstanding. Like, we watched him here since he was a high school player, and then obviously on to Notre Dame. I know that he's good, but it's a matter of, like, figuring out how good he can be. Like, I keep wondering if they'll go and look for a Laporta type of tight end in the draft or in free agency over the next couple of years, or if they feel like he can grow into something. From what you're saying, how optimistic are you that Cole Kmet can eat in this offense?
I think he can for sure eat. I think it's just understanding like what he does well. I think, you know, he to me feels like a blocking wise, so kind of like your more traditional tight end with pass game upside. And I think that's very, very valuable because teams have to match that personnel and base because of his ability to block. So again, he's going to draw better matchups because of that. I don't think that precludes them from hunting out and finding kind of a move S piece. You know, obviously there's a couple of guys like Terrence Ferguson from Oregon in the upcoming draft, or Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, or a couple of guys that kind of fit that kind of move tight end, kind of big slot build that, again, you're just hunting for better matchups, and they just provide a different body type to create some of those matchups. So I don't think that precludes them from getting, I'm going to say, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more of a pass-centric type of player in that offense. But, I think Cole Kmet has value in that when you have a guy who can block the way he blocks in line, compete the way he competes in line, again, it forces the defense to do different things to the personnel package that he's in on. And again, if you can find ways to exploit those matchups, and I think he's physically capable of doing that, I think he can be very dangerous in that offense.
Can you talk a little bit more about what you said regarding Durham Smythe and what Mike McDaniel does, disguising where the straight, where the heavy for the run game is by having the tight end move? Tell us a little bit more about that, because maybe that's a key to what Ben did in Detroit and what we're going to see that we don't have full grasp of.
Yeah, so I think if you kind of just go like basic 2x2 formation, right? So, you know, there's tight end and a receiver to the right, there's a tight end and a receiver to the left. And I think people are getting more into this kind of clamp look where both the tight ends are off the ball. That's a balanced formation. That's like traditional solo formation for a defense, right? So they're going to call that balanced. And they're going to set the front to the blocking Y, in this case, Cole Kmet, but he's off the ball, right? So now on the snap in my cadence, I can move the tight end and we can attack the bubble to the offensive left, in this case, away from the three technique, and create better angles for the offensive line, create a double team to the front side of the run if we're running outside zone. And again, that's just one example of ways that tight ends were utilized in Miami, the ways that he utilized tight ends when he was in Detroit. It's a good way to kind of set the front and then quickly change the strength of the formation. Again, because you're always setting the strength of the formation on first and second down to the run strength. So if we can change that strength without having to motion or shift, like a big kind of deliberate get reset, do it on the fly, it really puts the defense at a disadvantage. So I think that's, you'll see a little bit of that, more type of that utilization of the tight end position in Chicago.
Logan, you never disappoint, man. Thanks so much for picking up the phone. We love talking ball with you, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
That is Logan Paulson. Woo. He's so good.
Woo. That is juicy. It's juicy right there.
That is top-notch sexy football right there, if ever I've heard it. All right.
Let's get back to that later. Let's touch back on it, you and me, at some point.
When we come back, I want to share some of this with Speaks, because Speaks hasn't heard it. And it's about the thing that we both love. We love baseball. And a lot of people might be wondering, what the hell is going on with baseball and its contract, its television contract? And for some, locally, people are wondering what the hell is going on with baseball and their TV contract. We'll share some of that info with some people who know. Next, here on The Score.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.